Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 4th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, we believe to be one of the greatest peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Speaking of restorative, we reject revolution. We believe in restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we believe it can be peacefully done if they'll let us. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you have a delightful weekend. You know, Liberty Roundtable Live is normally 6 days a week. I've been, as you know, sick. And I have had some family things. There's been a couple of days off, but it is truly a six-day-a-week radio broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we used to do 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for the longest time. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, as we did 3 hours a day, I was thinking, you know what? Man, there's so much news. We got to do 4 hours a day. You know, let's just bust out and do it. And I thought, you know what? That's just insane. Okay, nobody can listen to 4 hours a day of radio anyway. And Sam, even at 4 hours a day, you'll never get to all the news that you want to. There's just so much of it. It's impossible. So then I thought, well, what can I do then? You know, what do I do? And I thought, you know what? The answer is not less. The answer is not more. The answer is less. More with less is kind of the idea. And I thought, you know what? How can I do that? So we reduced to 2 hours a day, but then we went to 6 days a week. And the idea is instead of 15 hours of radio a week, it's only 12 hours a week, right? But it's better radio because it's more around the clock instead of a whole weekend with no news. By the way, a lot of news drops on the weekend, I might add. They want to drop a lot of the news where you don't see it. They can say, hey, we did report it. We did announce it. But yet you don't see it because it's a weekend, right? Well, anyway, so we thought, let's just do 6 days a week. And that's 12 hours of radio, but it's more around the clock radio. And so that's how the 2-hour format came to be. Some say we ought to go down to 1 hour. And I've thought about that many times. And I've thought, what if I did an hour of radio a day, but then we did more TV, more videos? And I might add, that's still something that we're contemplating, by the way. How can we reduce the amount of delivery to all of you? Not that we want less time on the radio or less time in front of you, but we know you're busy, right? We know you're not just sitting around with nothing to do. How do we really have a way to get in front of you in meaningful ways, in ways that make sense, in ways that bring about the real information? And so we thought, let's just do 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and let's make sure that we then prioritize our news, and let's just drop some of the stuff we just don't need to talk about as much. Let's highlight what we need to focus on more and go from there. So that's how the 2 hour a day, 6 days a week format kind of evolved. The only other talk show host that I know, usually you're a weekday show talk host or whatever, and it's Monday through Friday, or you're a weekend warrior kind of a host on Saturday or Sunday or whatever. Rarely are there hosts that do both. I think the only two that I know of really are myself and Alex Jones. And there you go. Alex Jones does a whole lot more radio even than I do. But I also have a day job, and I think that is his day job. So there you have that. By the way, my day job, I'm an IT guy for a living. I own a company called Small Business Tech Guys, and we provide technical knowledge and computer support and strategic vision for IT for companies and consulting for IT and consulting for HR for companies. We provide social media support for companies. We take care of their social media needs. We do podcasting and help others get radio shows and that kind of stuff together. That's who we are. That's what we do. Anyway, Small Business Tech Guys, SB Tech Guys is the website for that. But anyway, I digress. A quick recap. Yesterday's show starts now. How's that? We had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson, a discussion of all things liberty. We discussed this Senator Rand Paul issue, where Rand emails me begging for money, Senator Rand Paul, and he says, Sam, how long will my voice be censored? This is a free speech crisis, and it requires immediate action. Well, he's right on all counts. It is a crisis. It does require immediate action. And, you know, it's a good question. How long will your voice be censored? How long will your voice be shut down? And the answer is, as long as we, the people, do nothing about it. Okay, we've let the liberals in bed with government create all these platforms. And they hate you. They hate me. They hate everything conservative we talk about, we believe in, we advocate for. They always have and they always will. And we let them build all the institutions. And then we just, you know, lazily jumped onto all their bandwagons. And now, you know what? They don't want us there. They hate us. They want to kick us off and shut us down. And why are you surprised? What you've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to drive this through anybody's minds, but you've got to build your own institutions, okay? All right? Look, I've been building radio networks and working on radio stations and everything else since like 1992 stuff. I owned a radio station from like 96 to 05 or 06, something like that. All right? And we've been doing nationally syndicated talk radio for a long time. We've been streaming since the 90s. Okay, and I've built my own institutions to the best of my ability. They're small, but I've done what I can with my own hands. I've rolled up my sleeves, and others have helped me. It's not all me. It's not about me, but it's about what we've been able to accomplish, and it's tremendous. Our impact is huge compared to the dollar spent. We jokingly call it the Widow's Mite Radio Network because, man, we spend pennies, but our impact is huge. I mean, having Donald Trump Jr. on Liberty Roundtable Live on Super Tuesday, that isn't a small guest. Broadcasting live from the Republican National Convention, sitting across from CNN. That's not little taters, is it? All right, so I'm not trying to make us out to be bigger than we are or act like we should have a big head over it or anything like that. I'm just merely telling you that the impact of people when they stand up and do something is incredible. And there's a few people that are standing up, but you know what? Largely, we don't build our own institutions. So I want to say to you, Rand Paul, you know, you say it's kind of an emergency. We need money. Doing things on our own, supporting some of these other startups is just too expensive. It might be too expensive this go-round, Rand. But you keep the small guy alive and you let the small guy grow and you fund and support and have, you know, dedication to and a fidelity for our institutions, the things that we build. You know what? It might not be big enough of an impact today. But tomorrow it will be if you give it a chance and if you support it. See, what we want to do is say, well, there's an election cycle at hand. Let's just get through this election cycle and then we'll work on the real fixes. But ladies and gentlemen, they've been saying that my whole lifetime, okay? I've been an adult for over 30 years and I'm telling you right now, they say that over and over. Let's just get through the crisis. Let's get rid of this election. Then we're with you. We're on board. You know, we're ready to support you all the way. And then the next election cycle ends. And then they're like, oh, well, we just need a little bit of a rest. And then before you know it, they're kicking into the next election cycle. And it's like, oh, you know, there's not time for this. And it never ends. And what we end up doing is funding the enemy media, funding the media that hates our guts, funding the platforms that want to deplatform us over and over and over. So the answer to the question, Rand Paul, isn't money right now so you can avoid the crisis, stay elected, and fund the beast. The answer is, you know what? You'll be not censored. How long till you're not censored? When we build our own institutions to where there's people like me and others at the head of these media companies, where we're like, we're not going to deplatform Rand Paul. We believe in what he has to say. We support him. We think he's a good, honest person. We think he's doing the best he can. He's not perfect like the rest of us, but you know what? He does a great job, and we won't censor you. In fact, we'll promote you. See, I can promote all these people with very little money now that I've built the network. All I got to do is make a decision to do so. But at the same time, I've got bills to pay, right? Anyway, all I'm telling you is the answer to Rand Paul's question is as soon as we build our own institutions, then I think we have a chance to have our say in the media, a seat at the table at the media. And they may say, well, no, Sam, you still won't have a seat at the table. If we're big enough, we certainly will, because we'll force our seat at the table by our sheer numbers. See, and so, you know what? For example, when Ron Paul, his father, ran in 2008 and 2012, I can't remember which election. I think it was 2012. They literally raised $100 million. They raised $6 million in one single day, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the mainstream press was so shocked, they said, oh, it was a bunch of robots, it's not real money. Then they found out it was real money, and they were just shocked into silence. All right, we the people can get together and can stand together and can make a difference and can do something. But it takes a little bit of work, takes a little bit of organization, takes a little bit of building of our own platforms and our own institutions to make it happen. It just does. All right, and the sad part in America, ladies and gentlemen, is this Christian nation has turned its back on God. And now we're reaping the whirlwind as a result. The answer is to turn back to God. The answer is to build our own institutions. That's the answer. Okay? So anyway, I don't mean to be offensive to Rand Paul, and I know he wants support, and I don't want to withdraw support from him in any way. But I kind of feel like, you know what, begging me to give up money from my family who needs it desperately so that he can get elected, so that he can then go ahead and, what is he going to do, fund the mainstream press with the money? Fund the beast media that's kind of the enemy media or whatever. See, I don't see any value in that. I think you need to go on platforms like Rumble, Brighty on TV, the Epic Times. You know, I think you got to support people like Liberty News Radio, Loving Liberty Radio Networks. There's a lot of other groups, not just us, that could use your financial support and everything else. But all I'm telling you is unless we build our own institutions, you can expect censoring to be the order of the day. And it's not going to end. It isn't going to end. By the way, Japan suspends 1.6 million Moderna COVID vaccine doses. Why? It's tainted. It has metal in it. Do you trust the vaccines? It's obvious why I don't. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, wow. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. We're in the middle of a recap of yesterday's broadcast, folks. Archbishop Vigano, I think is how you say his name. Archbishop Vigano, quote, the Great Reset from start to finish. We talked about that and how they're really using the coronavirus. They're really using climate change to push us into a global financial reset of all things. There's Klaus Schwab and others on the world stage that are pushing for it. There's documents everywhere documenting their agenda. They want to change America, turn us into, quote, global citizens. And they really want to jettison all the checks and balances that makes America great. It's very scary, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about a quote with Chris Carlson where it says this, evil is more highly organized, more cleverly disguised, and more powerfully promoted than ever before. Secret combinations lusting for power, gain, and glory are flourishing. A secret combination that seeks to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and peoples, or in countries, is influencing its evil influence over America and over the entire world. This is Ezra Taft Benson, former Secretary of Agriculture, that said that literally decades ago. You think it's better now or do you think it's worse? Just saying. All right, Pfizer board member, Scott Gottlieb is his name. He says natural immunity against COVID-19 needs to be included in policy discussions. Jack Phillips, TheEpicTimes.com. Imagine a Pfizer board member saying we got to have natural immunity as part of the discussion. Good for him speaking out. That's a rarity, but we commend those people who are true whistleblowers, those people who truly stand up and say, you know what, the truth just needs to be here. And when good people stand up, wonderful things happen every time. By small things, God makes great things happen, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about the two top FDA vaccine officials. They resigned. We're talking about Dr. Marion Gruber. She's director of the U.S. FDA's vaccine office. And her deputy assistant, I guess, Dr. Philip Kraus, they don't believe there's enough evidence to support the Biden administration's push to offer COVID booster shots later this month. So here's the question, ladies and gentlemen. You got two officials that literally resign. These guys were ride for the brand Bidenites, whatever you want to call them, right? But they literally resign and bail and say, listen, we don't believe that we're ready for booster shots. We don't believe we should be doing this. So they both resign, okay? And now the next headline that I was about to talk about after my recap of the broadcast, so it's today's headline, is this. Booster shots, question mark? Health officials say not so fast. Believe it or not, Dateline Washington, top federal health officials have told the White House to scale back a plan to offer coronavirus booster shots to the general public this month, saying that, hey, regulators need more time to collect and review all the necessary data to make such a recommendation. So here's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. You've got the White House pushing for booster shots, pushing so hard for booster shots that people are resigning over it. Pushing so hard that officials in the regulatory departments are starting to be against the White House and the president going, hold on now, booster shots, question mark, hold on. Health officials say not so fast. Dateline Washington, health officials are warning, saying we're just not ready. So here's my question. Why would the White House be pushing so hard against guidance from so-called federal experts, right? Why would the White House be pushing so hard for booster shots even though the data's not even in? They haven't even collected or analyzed all the data. They're not ready to make such a recommendations, but the White House is all fired up, foaming at the mouth, babbling, we got to have booster shots. We got to get them rolling right now. And all the health officials are going, are you kidding me? We're not ready for that. We don't have the data done. We don't have it collected. We don't have it analyzed. This is way premature. So much so to where people are leaving. They're literally quitting over it, right? They say we don't have the necessary data. We haven't even collected it. We haven't reviewed it. We don't even know yet. Why is the White House on such a bender, ladies and gentlemen? Why is President Biden so all fired up to push for this when we don't have the data collected? We don't have it reviewed or analyzed. We're not ready at all for this. In fact, I submit we weren't even ready for the vaccines in the first place, folks. They're on emergency status. You say, oh, no, Sam, the Pfizer vaccine was approved. Lie, stop, don't lie to me. Stop it already. I can't take it anymore. There was a vaccine under a different name that was approved. That's true. Some say it's an identical vaccine. We don't have proof of that. But what we know is the name of the vaccine that was approved, there are no doses available. There is no inventory of the approved vaccine. So all the shots being given right now, just so you know, are still the other name, experimental vaccine, or vaccine that is what they call emergency approved. They don't have any of the, quote, approved vaccination doses to give anyone. So what they're doing is making you believe that the vaccine's approved by the FDA, but the one they're giving you versus the one that got approved is not the same. It's not the same name. It's not exactly the same patent numbers from what I understand. Okay, we're talking about different things here, but they're deceiving you. So we're not ready for a booster shot, but the White House is pushing for it. Why? Why don't we discuss natural immunity? Anyway, the dishonesty is just beyond imagination. And then they want to run around and say we're guilty of peddling fake news? Shame on these criminals. All right, second hour, we talked to Dr. Scott Bradley, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, with weekly webinars on the Constitution and a whole lot more. That's Dr. Bradley, FreedomsRisingSun.com. He's with us every Monday and Friday, doing a phenomenal job on your radio, I might add. Anyway, we talked about Congress prepares to increase the Pentagon's budget. Yeah, that's right. Congress plans, is prepared to increase the military budget. As if we haven't spent a lot of wasted money on the military over the last couple of decades, huh? But they're firing up for more. They're on track to increase the military budget by roughly $24 billion more than whacked out Joe Biden even requested. You say, how much did Joe ask for? $715 billion. And so then the whacked out Congress has gone, nah, we're going to give you more than $715 billion. We're going to give you $24 billion more. What we need to do is have a humble foreign policy, folks, a non-interventionist foreign policy. We need to get out of a lot of these wars we're in. We don't need to be in 130-plus nations, militarily speaking. We don't need to just continue to be hawkish around the world. Nations are starting to hate our guts. Let's return home and defend the homeland. Defend America. Let's go ahead and, you know what, reduce our, quote, worldwide footprint and move to a, well, a dove, is that what they call it? The opposite of a hawk foreign policy, a humble foreign policy that's non-interventionist by nature. We're not nation builders. We're not waging war around the world. We're simply going to defend America and defend, to some degree, her partners. Very limited scope. And other than that, we're going to go ahead and just keep our nose clean and stay out of the foreign entanglements. Let's do it. When? How? Come on now. All right. They got a Senate defense bill going on right now that would require women to register for the draft. Shame on them. Wow. You know, I don't want women in the draft. And they would say, well, Sam, that's because you're just a chauvinist. You know what? Shame on you. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, I believe, in traditional man and woman. God ordained male and female traditional roles. That's why. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I believe women aren't capable of things. That isn't it at all. I do believe women should be protected and loved and cared for, though. See what a chauvinist I am? I do believe that men and women have different roles ordained by God. I do believe those roles aren't 100%. I believe that a lot of times those roles require normal adaptation between husband and wife based on skill sets and capabilities and health or the lack thereof and everything else. I get it. But I believe in traditional roles. We talked about the Justice Department agents are now getting body cameras. Why are they getting armed to the teeth in the first place? Then why are we giving them body cameras? There is no authority constitutionally for the federal government agencies to be armed to the teeth, to kick in doors, and now we have to have body cameras to create accountability. Why are we arming the government, disarming the people in the first place, I might humbly ask? This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
We could be in for a bad month when it comes to COVID. That warning coming from Dr. Anthony Fauci on MSNBC Friday.
When you get over a holiday weekend like the Labor Day weekend and then start going into the fall, you have children coming back to school in en masse. You know, there'll be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids coming back to school. All of those ingredients together could actually lead to a resurgence of cases, and that's what we're concerned about.
There are reports of more kids getting COVID, increases in pediatric hospitalizations and deaths around the country. Fauci, though, says it's too soon to know if this is because the Delta variant is really tougher on kids than other strains, or is it just that more kids are getting it. The First Lady returning to the classroom, Jill Biden, will be teaching composition writing at Northern Virginia Community College twice a week for 13 weeks starting Tuesday. This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
New Orleans residents who fled ahead of Hurricane Ida being asked to return home. Mayor LaToya Cantrell announcing Friday almost all residents could have power back by Wednesday. More anti-Taliban protests in Afghanistan on Saturday, but this time there are reports of violence. Women protesting in Kabul for the second day in a row. An Afghan news agency reports the protests turned violent as Taliban forces did not allow protesters to march toward the presidential palace. The new unemployment number is not as good as analysts expected. The Labor Department's jobs report for August released Friday. Analysts expecting about 720,000 new jobs get just 235,000 instead. President Biden, though, trying to look on the bright side.
Today's report shows that the steps we've taken, passing the rescue plan and vaccinating 175 million people, make our economy capable of growing and adding jobs even in the face of this continuing Delta surge.
The unemployment rate dropping in the latest report to 5.2%. Pre-pandemic in February 2020, it was lower, though, at 3.5%. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. So as I was saying, I don't know why we're arming government bureaucrats to the teeth. Then when they go crazy with their arms and beat people up and do wrong things, then we say, oh, man, we got to have some body cams so we can make sure that, you know, we know what's going on when they beat people up and harm everybody. And I'm thinking, why do we have government agencies armed to the teeth in the first place? Why doesn't the Justice Department have justified, you know what, just partnering up with the local sheriff and say, hey, we need your help here. We got to go talk to this person or work with it. You know, what's going on? And why are they disarming the American people, or at least attempting to over and over and over, while they're arming government agents to the teeth? That's another serious question that you got to contemplate, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we talked about a driver's license on your phone. Believe it or not, there's an app for that, ladies and gentlemen. They're working on this big time. And Dr. Scott Bradley was wisely making the point that, you know what? I'm not really fond of driver's licenses on my phone. You get pulled over by the buddies, the cops pull you over, you pull out your phone, you hand it to the cop, now this is locked, you're going to have to unlock this, son. Oh yeah, so you put your thumbprint up there, you know, let it look at your face, whatever you do, and then it unlocks. Now the cop has an unlocked phone in his hand, then he looks at your driver's license and he says, I'll be right back. Wait a minute, you got my phone, dude, my unlocked phone. And if you got Apple Pay and all your credit cards in there and who knows what else, and he goes back to his cop car, he might be able to plug that in and hit a button and summarily copy everything off of it. Who knows? But are you comfortable giving access to this device to the cops when there's no search warrant? There's really no, the word they use constitutionally, the words they use is probable cause, right? Even though there's no real probable cause, he's got all this information at his fingertips. He may decide to give your phone back after he copies the data off of it. He may decide not to give your phone back at all. Who knows? But are you comfortable, ladies and gentlemen, with all that? And a lot of people say, well, Sam, if I'm not doing anything wrong, what do I got to worry? You got to worry about a lot of things. What about corrupt cops? What about misuse of data? What about a misunderstanding of what may be on your phone? What if your phone has a podcast client on it? And you get and listen to Liberty Roundtable live on a daily basis, and the cop sees that and he goes, oh, 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 one of them Liberty Roundtable live listeners. I know it. Better give this guy a ticket, you know? All right, sir, you're all good to go. No harm, no crime, no fat. But you know what? I am going to have to give you a ticket. When he could have not, but he didn't like your Liberty Roundtable ties, and so there you go. See, where is this leading to? And the answer is we don't know. But we know this. Once you put your driver's license on your phone, you won't be putting less information on your phone. What they'll be doing is putting more and more and more information on your phone, connecting the dots. So next it'll be, do you got your driver's license on your phone? Yes, sir. Good, you got your vaccine passport on your phone? Do you got your vaccine passport on there? Do you got your driver's license? Excellent. Now, we need to know when your birthday is. We need to know what your Social Security number is. We need to, and before you know it, they got this massive dossier via your phone that you built for them that they may be accessing that they may not have even a search warrant or any probable cause for. Anyway, I go on and on. I hope you guys can see the danger. You know, I hope you really can consider what this really could turn into. All right, we talked about San Francisco, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, San Francisco is literally paying people not to shoot one another. Did you hear this? Officials in San Francisco, believe it or not, vowed to delete the police budget by $120 million over the next 2 years. So they're going to gut their police force. But now they're going to pay the criminals. Here's the headline. San Francisco will roll out a program in October paying people literally $300 a month not to shoot anybody and or not to get shot. They call it the city's Dream Keeper Fellowship Program. Yeah. And they're going to put people with coaches and ambassadors and put compensation together and try to help these people be more gentle, more soft, more kind in the community. You know, and there you have it. So what you got to do to qualify for this program, I guess, is shoot enough people to where they think, hey, you're the one that's probably going to shoot. So then you can qualify for the program, I guess. I mean, how do you decide who would agree not to shoot anyone? I mean, I'll agree not to shoot anybody if you send me $300 a month because I wouldn't shoot anybody anyway. See what I'm saying? But it's just the strangest whacked out thing they're doing in California and San Francisco area. Just gut the cops. Just gut the police force. Just defund them, and then run around and start paying the criminals not to hurt each other? Well, I mean, I thought the first libertarian principle was don't hurt me and don't take my stuff, right? So what on earth is going on around here? And the answer is these liberals are just, they're literally out of their minds. Out of their minds. All right, the World Health Organization, you know that thing's called the WHO, right? They are monitoring a new coronavirus variant, strain, whatever term you want to call the thing, they say that could potentially evade vaccines and vaccine immunity. They call it the B.1.621 variant. It's also called the Mu variant. I joke not. It's a capital M, lowercase u. Now, I don't know what the Mu variant is, but they say that it was first reported in Colombia back in January 2021. They say it has now been detected in 39 countries and was added to the WHO's coronavirus watch list. They say the WHO didn't articulate whether the Mu variant is deadlier or more easily transmitted than other variants. I don't know why they wouldn't tell us that, but there you go. Seems like that would be one of the most important pieces of news you would tell people, right? But anyway, now they got, you know, the Delta variant, right? Now the next one's what? Mu. Are they making fun of us, ladies and gentlemen? What on earth is an MU variant? Do you pronounce that moo? Hey, Cameron, Jay, can you guys think, would you pronounce that moo? It's like the capital letter M, lowercase u. I don't know how else to pronounce it. And sometimes, you know, since I can't see, I wonder if I'm just not pronouncing these words right. But this thing's called the moo virus. You got the Delta virus. So it's a character, and they're just spelling it M-U, but it's really a different character. Mew. All right, anyway, I think they ought to do the sheeple variant. And everybody can just be like, meh, go get the vaccines. Nah. And everybody can just run around to the sheep variant. You know what I mean? Right? I mean, you got the swine flu, so you got the swine involved. You got the moo for the cows now. You know, why don't we just do the sheeple? Everybody's just like lemmings running off a cliff getting vaccines, not even realizing what the downstream harm might be stuff, right? Yeah, sounds like Americans. That's right. Good. Anyway, I just look at this and I'm just going, we got the moo variant, man. It's going to roll in here. And how do these variants know what countries they come from, though? Right? Like the virus is spread everywhere and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got a new one. Came out in Brazil. Hey, this one came out in Denmark. Hey, this one came out in... How do these viruses know what country to like come from? It's like every country's getting their own, huh? It's just weird stuff, if you ask me. I just don't understand it. Maybe I just lack a scientific mind. You know, that's probably the problem. All right, Joe Rogan, though, got over COVID in a couple of days using ivermectin. So now Joe Rogan swears of ivermectin. I swear that ivermectin works, but your government wants you to believe it's just nothing but a bunch of horsey paste. And how dare you? You're not a cow. You're not a horse. But, you know, ivermectin doesn't work, right? That's literally what they're trying to tell you. Ivermectin doesn't work. Come on, you're not a horse. You're not a cow, et cetera. And they're trying to get you to just ignore ivermectin. But Joe Rogan says it works. And I say it works. And both of us got the coronavirus. Both of us got sick. And both of us are now getting much better. Well, if you will. Would test negative, so to speak. And we claim that we got better and ivermectin helped big time. Who do you believe? Your government that mocks it for being a horsey paste? Dangerous for Americans? Or do you believe Joe Rogan and Sam Bushman that tell you that we've taken it and it works? This is serious. Who do you believe? Now, I want you to understand that the horsey version of the medication is not the same as the people version. When I took it, I didn't just suck down some horsey paste. I actually took little teeny pills, 5 of them, for 5 days in a row. Okay? And I don't understand why they're trying to mock this. Now, some are saying they're literally trying to outlaw ivermectin. Can you believe this? They're trying to outlaw ivermectin. Now, I've told you that I believe the government is starting to become an enemy of the people. And I really believe this, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know that it's kind of shocking for me to say something like this because I never really say crazy stuff on the radio. But you know what? The next story that I bring to your attention will prove my point. There are rogue agents in your government that are now starting to become an enemy of the people. I'm not saying your government's evil. The proper role of government's wonderful. But these people have gone too far, and I'll explain in seconds on your radio.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I've told you that rogue agents in government have become criminal and against the people, ladies and gentlemen. They've declared war on us, and you might not believe me, but I'm going to prove it for you right now. They're telling you don't take ivermectin. They're actually pushing to outlaw it in America. They're saying, come on now, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, come on. And you know, why are you guys taking this horsey medicine? Well, they lie, and they know it. And they lie when they know that ivermectin absolutely works, ladies and gentlemen. They also say that ivermectin is not safe, don't take it, it's just not safe, it's not approved, it's not safe. But they lie, ladies and gentlemen, and here's the headline. Horowitz, CDC endorsed use of ivermectin for Afghan refugees. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not. The person that created ivermectin said this: I have long been convinced that nature has all the solutions we need to solve our past. And let that be the primary source of the treasures and the solutions that we seek. The guy's name is Professor Sasashi Amura. He's the co-laureate for the discovery of ivermectin in the first place. Okay, that's this guy. But if we look at 2019 CDC guidance, you got to wonder if the reason there's such a run on ivermectin is because our own government's buying it and using it, and they don't like competition. No, not for horses, ladies and gentlemen, for refugees. Yeah, the same government is running a smear campaign against the drug and its users in America by misleading people into conflating it with the veterinarian version of the drug, leaving people to believe that it's some sort of poison for humans. But in the process, they're leaving thousands of COVID patients without any other real options for treatment. It's not clear whether the hundreds of thousands of Afghan refugees will be forced to get vaccinated like, quote, American international travelers. But one thing is indeed clear. They will get the ivermectin that most Americans simply can no longer access. In terms of 2019 guidance, the CDC issued guidance for refugees from Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East to all be given ivermectin preemptively for potential infections. Now, the CDC advises the International Organization for Migration, the physicians there, to screen the refugees for departure, and U.S. doctors who see them on arrival to prescribe all Middle Eastern, Asian, North African, Latin American, and Caribbean refugees with ivermectin, and then albendazole, which I don't know a lot about. But they say, don't worry, that's for parasitic infection, not for viral infection. Shouts the courses of ignorant fools who have ignored the past 18 months of ivermectin saving countless lives, yours truly, and Joe Rogan being two of them, public figures, if you will. Putting this point aside for a moment that it saves lives, even though the government lies and says that it doesn't, the government has made the claim. So this is a question about efficacy, not safety. Government officials are slamming those who use ivermectin and doctors that prescribe it as if it's not a safe drug, and even convincing people that it's only for animals. But do they consider refugees animals is what you got to ask, right? The point is, people that are getting COVID, vaccinated and unvaccinated, are all asking for ivermectin because they're left without any outpatient treatment. Why, I ask, would the government stand in the way of ivermectin treatment that it's mass distributes to refugees, even if the bureaucrats don't believe it'll help for COVID? Because even if it doesn't help for COVID, you can't say it's not safer. Why are you giving it to the refugees? See? So there's two issues here. One, what's it used for? Well, they say it's used for, you know, if you get worms or something. Not used for COVID. But there's two debates. One is what it's used for. And the second debate is it safe? So you might say, I don't believe it's effective, this ivermectin. I don't believe it's effective for fighting COVID. But they're playing games making you believe that it's not safe. But whether it'll help for COVID or not isn't the point. The question is it safe? And if it's not, why are you giving it to refugees? If it is, then why are you telling us that it's not? So here's the question. What if you have a parasitic infection like a worm and you have COVID? Will they give you ivermectin and will it help with both? There, yeah. All right. Remember, we're told that somehow one of the safest drugs in history, which is ivermectin, by the way, is now unsafe. If you want to use it for a different ailment, maybe that we as Americans can self-identify as refugees, then of course we can get prescriptions for this life-saving, safe drug. The question now is that will the rest of the media ignore ivermectin's success? Will they continue to call it a horse medicine, even when it's administered en masse to Afghan and other refugees? The revelation of this CDC guidance to the refugees since 2019 demonstrates that ivermectin is not some obscure drug, some animal drug that was used one time or whatever back in Africa many years ago. The agency feels that it's needed today in most parts of the world, and to suggest that it's not safe is a scandalous, intentional lie. Perhaps doctors will need to somehow create like an abortion code so that they can get ivermectin, or say that it's for an Afghan refugee in order to get the prescription filled. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who thinks that somehow one of the safest and most successful drugs of all time cannot work for other ailments is completely uninformed. There you have it. Think about this. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to say about this, but when your government literally tells you that it's not safe when we know it is, when your government tells you that, hey, this isn't approved, it's not the right use for this drug, and they can say, well, you know, you can't use an off-use drug here because it's not approved. What about the vaccines? They're not approved. They're under emergency authorization. What about the vaccines? They're not tested safe and effective. Ivermectin has way more safe and effective evidence than your vaccines by a thousandfold. So you got to understand, why is the CDC backing ivermectin for refugees but denying it to the American people? Now, here's the problem. When your life is on the line, like mine was at one point, you feel very differently about this. You say, you know what? Why would my government not want me to use this? Why would my government not want me to use this life-saving drug, whether they believe it'll help me or not? They know it's safe and effective. They know they're recommending it around the world to refugees. The revelation of this CDC guidance demonstrates that ivermectin is not some obscure drug. To suggest that it's not safe, ladies and gentlemen, is a scandalous lie. So I really want to know, and this is why I'm starting to say that your government has become an enemy of the people. I don't know who, Fauci, rogue agents, I don't know, but all I know is this. When the CDC endorses the use of ivermectin for refugees, and they're saying that Sam Bushman shouldn't have it, can't get it, it doesn't work. But I'm here to testify that I got it and it does work. How many people are going to die who are outpatients who can't get any other treatment that can help them with COVID? There is no real treatment for COVID, is there? If you accept the government's guidance, if you say ivermectin's no good, and many of the other solutions are no good, hydroxychloroquine, there's others, that none of those things work. What then are we left with? What choice do we have to get well? The only answer is they have is take the shot. But if I'm super sick about to die from COVID, the shot's not going to help me right then. There's no solutions the government has where they say, well, you can use these antibodies. Well, they're $15,000 or whatever it is a dose, or $21,000, some insane number that I can't afford. How are outpatients going to get that anyway? So they've left us literally with a deadly disease with no way to solve it. And any way that good people come up with to solve it, they down. Ivermectin, no, it's horsey crap. Don't do that. Come on. All the while they're giving this to the refugees, and they've done so for years, and they know that it works. Folks, what is going on here? A government that does that, you got to kind of start to say, isn't that bordering on criminal? I mean, really, honestly, you got to answer this question for me. Don't avoid it. I know people don't want to go here. It's very tough to say these things, right? But when the government literally denies you life-saving medication, and they claim it doesn't work and that it's not safe, but then you know it works and you know it's safe because they're giving it to other people around the world, and they have for years, and the studies and the reference material on this medication, this drug ivermectin, is literally decades long, and it's safe and effective in many ways. It's off-script treatment for this. I get that. But I also get that if we're going to do experimental vaccines and other experimental drugs and protocols, how can we say this one doesn't qualify? See, there's a disconnect that I believe rises to the level of criminal reality. People are dying. If I didn't get ivermectin, I might not be here today, ladies and gentlemen. I might be dead. I could not breathe and I could not get off oxygen. Literally within hours of receiving ivermectin, I was able to get off oxygen and breathe on my own. And then they want to tell me that it doesn't work. And I'm just sitting here going, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it reminds me of how the mainstream press pitches an event. You go to an event, it's a certain way, and you see certain things and you hear and you experience it, and you get done, and then you go home and you go, wow, that was awesome. That was incredible. And then you watch the media coverage and it's like, what? That isn't how it was when I was there. That isn't what they said. Wait a minute. That isn't, hold on. And you just get incensed going, it's not even as they told us. It's like that. But here's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just opinion now. We're talking about lives, human life in the balance. And when the government says, no, you can't take ivermectin, let's outlaw it, let's down it, let's get rid of it, I don't know how to respond to this. But to deny this medication to people when they know that it works is criminal. I really believe that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not overstating the point. What are we going to do if they outlaw ivermectin? I'm serious. What do we do? I don't know, but we better work on it. We better stand up. I'll tell you that right now. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. I'm Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com. Spread the word. I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.